Hello once more. This is Cyril Stevens from Christmas Valley, bringing you more nuggets of truth, and we're looking at the second epistle of Peter. And I am saying to you, life can be remarkably generous and lovely. It doesn't have to be depressive, and it doesn't have to be miserable. Oh, you may go through fits of depression. You may be attacked by Satan. You may have all sorts of things go wrong, but you are triumphant. And Jesus has given us all that we need to live godly on this earth. Let me explain that. In chapter 1 of the second epistle of Peter, and in verse 3, we read, "According to his divine power, he hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. If these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins." Now, he is talking, well, let's look at verse 10. "Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, that if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ." And then he goes on and he says, "I'll not ever stop telling you, reminding you of these facts." Let me say to you that we need the sinews of sturdiness as a sincere servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. In this verse 3, these are things of heavenly provision. All things, he says, that pertain to life and to godliness. And this is identified as the divine nature of verse 4, whereby we are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. You see, you've escaped corruption, you've escaped from sin, you've escaped by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and by the washing of his blood and by the cleansing of your heart, you have escaped the wrath of God. That should bring you and I together in a great place where we look up and we see that God is doing all things. You see, there's a real problem. There is natural man, that's the man that you are without Christ, and there is the spiritual man. The awful thing about the natural man is that he's lost. He doesn't know the way. He's in a fog. He can't find his way. The ocean is too deep. He can't swim his way. He's drowning. He's lost. And we have to learn to cry out, "Master, carest thou not? We perish." And we read here in this lovely little epistle that God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Did you know that? If you want to be a saint, that is one person who is believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as his Saviour and Redeemer, the one who went to the cross to shed his blood so that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Do you realize, dear friend, listen to me, do you realize you're a saint? Now, there's no need for you to go on in all these droopy draw things that seem to be hanging around Christians these days. Since I retired, I've had people in my house telling me of all the things that have gone wrong and all the things that are upside down, all the things that are inside out, all the things that are back to front. And you know, it jolly well doesn't matter. What matters is that you are washed. You are cleansed. You have been renewed. And you're no longer a natural man. When you're a natural man, you had common sense. Now you're a spiritual man, you have spiritual sense. Use it. I look around as I preach in different churches. I look around at the congregations. I look around as I travel hither, thither, and yon, and I see spiritual people who are of a very sickly pallor. They have spiritual anemia, and they look awful. They sound dreadful. Because they're compromising the true faith of the Lord Jesus in their hearts with the untruthfulness of the world. Don't you understand? The world, with all its promises, cannot keep them. A man said, you know, I have a 401k, and at the last recession, why, it was gutted, and I lost X number of dollars. And he was all woe be gone. Should we care? No, because the government takes over. The government tells us these things. We don't need that sort of government. And the reason we don't need it, we have a better government. We have a better Lord. We have the best leader of all time, as we know time and calculate time on earth. Jesus, the Son of the living God. He loves you with a passion. He will guide you through your life. He will keep you through your disappointments. He will flood you with love through the difficult moments. I've just heard today, on my way here to the studio, a dear friend of mine, his daughter's gone. She died of cancer. And I imagine the tears in that household are enormous, and the tears would flood their hearts. And these two people who had this, I've known this family for a long time, 40 some years now. So this young lady is in her 40s, and she's gone. She's gone. And the tears must be enormous. I look at my children sometimes. It frustrates me because we're not nearer one another in some ways. But we're very near spiritually, and we're very near to each other, and we bind in Jesus. And though we may be separated by mountain ranges, and we may be separated by oceans, we may be separated by all kinds of things, we are bound together in the love of Jesus Christ our Lord. And as saints, we have the joy of knowing we are in the Lord. Look at the words, all things. In this third verse, he says, he hath given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Did you know that everything you need to have a good, solid, healthy, strengthened spiritual life is there? You can wield the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit. You can put on the whole armor of God with the helmet of salvation. You can stand with the breastplate of righteousness, and you have your loins girded about with truth. Don't you know that your feet can be shod in the preparation of the gospel? And against such a person who wears the armor that God has supplied through his eternal Son, my dear, dear friends, you are invincible, and Satan cannot come. Oh, he'll attack. He'll throw the darts of wickedness at you. He will do his best to undermine you. He will try to find a crack in the armor. He will seek to put you down. He will seek to destroy you on every hand. You will be disappointed with life, and those disappointments will overwhelm you. But, you are strong in the Lord. If you will heed to him and yield to him, what's godliness? I believe it's Christian conduct. I can do all things, the apostle says, through Christ who strengthens me. I can do everything, but such things are given in accordance to divine power. Look at this verse 3. According to the divine power that he has given to us, all things that pertain to godliness, that pertain to the conduct of being a Christian, everything's given to us. We have the power. We have the might. We have the ability, because divine power is inexhaustible. It's sad to hear the commentators on our news broadcast tell us that America is no longer a rich country, no longer a powerful country, and so on and on and on. How depressing it's becoming. How overwhelming it is. And then to have all sorts of people tell us we need more money for taxes and we need to take your money away and the recession, there's another recession round the corner if you don't look out, the banks will collapse. All this is depressive. Have we not worked? Have we not prayed? Have we not been sincere? Have we not done good things? I have to tell you, I've lived so long that I remember what America did in Europe. I remember what America did in England. Not so much in England, by the way, but a lot in Europe. How it is that today, through the hard work of good, solid politicians from America, Israel today is a country that stands alone. She is a sovereign country. And to see people of our country now compromises their sovereignty. There are wounds that cannot be healed, and there are wounds that will be healed, but the scars will be left. And we need to think of this, that God has said about Israel, those that bless Israel will be blessed, and those that curse Israel will be cursed. Oh dear. But we have everything to make us godly, to have good conduct in life. And it's inexhaustible. I may foul up, I may fall, I may slip, I may not stand, and things that may go away from me, but it's but for a moment, because Jesus is always there with his arms outstretched, reminding me that he saved me from a horrible death. He saved me from that terrible ditch, and he set my feet upon the solid rock. And he put a new song in my mouth. And now I am what I am because of the grace of God. So let's live the way he wants us to live. I want to share these points with you, because in this third verse, there are things of human possession. This lesson is not learned anywhere but on our knees. Look at the little word if. If. Is a little word, and it means a great chunk. Verse 8, if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Are you making sure that these lessons are being learned on your knees? When I first started in the ministry, I had no desk, I had no extra chair. My wife, in order to make ends meet, was nursing. She was an RN. She was working at the hospital. Our eldest daughter, who then was just maybe not quite a year old, half a year old, something like that, she and I went around together. She usually sat on my shoulders and she held my ears and steered me left and right to go down this road and up that road and so on. By my ears. Now, sometimes that got a bit painful, but it was a giggle and fun. And all the local people in the village and town we lived in, they knew who we were. It was interesting. Well, the story I want to finish telling is that I used to go up to the bedroom upstairs. There I would write my sermons. I would kneel down and I would go to prayer. And soon I would find two little hands that would reach over to my hair. I had a lot of it at the time. Then she would lay on top of my shoulders. And as I would pray, she wouldn't move. And as I would write, she would be still. And she just was with me in the writing of sermons, bad sermons, I'm sure. But she sat on my shoulders as a picture of truth. As she got longer and larger, she would stand on the calves of my legs and lean on my back. Now, sometimes, most times, she would go to sleep. And she would just lay there, and I could feel her body laying on my back, and I would do my work. The reason I'm telling you this is not to boast of anything, but I am saying that things are learned on our knees. I learned the scriptures. I didn't have many books. I had four, actually, and one commentary. And I had my Bible. And from that, as I've grown over the years, quite a nice library that I enjoy very much. But if these things be in you, if these things, which things, will come to that, but if they are in you, do you possess these things? Look at verse 9, it's shattering. He that lacketh these things, oh, I can lack it? Yes, you can be without these things. Verses 5 through 7 tells us what these things are. You see, if your faith provides a virtue and knowledge, then pursue patience, godliness, kindness, love, and you will see that these things are powerful, more powerful than anything that anyone can do. Do you put money in the lottery? Do you say, oh, if I get so many $1 million, I am going to do, and then you go through a catalogue of things you're going to do if you win the lottery. I'm sure that would be a nice thing. But there are elevating characteristics that issue from divine gifts. I hear people argue about divine gifts. Well, don't argue. Accept the gift. And when you've accepted the gifts, understand the work of the Holy Spirit is the virtue that you need. The Holy Spirit must have powerful, free course in your life. He must lead you. He must not be quenched. He must guide you, and he must not be ignored. He insists that we are obedient. To be disobedient, we grieve the Holy Spirit. Don't grieve him. It's important to see this. You see, its virtue is faith undaunted. In other words, the Holy Spirit shows us that we can believe that Jesus will see us through. There's a little motto text that was given to us when we first got married, and it said, he that has helped us hitherto will see us all the journey through. And we've had car accidents and medical emergencies and all sorts of things happen. Yet we have had faith in God. We've found that our faith undaunted has produced virtue because the Holy Spirit is leading. Someone said to me one day, did you know that so-and-so was really talking about you in a negative way? And I said, oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Well, I'm telling you, said my friend, so that you can do something about it. I said, I shall do nothing. Well, what will you do? I said, absolutely nothing. It's as if God has said this day, curse Cyril. You see, there was a man who threw mud at King David when he was dethroned by his son, an upset man who was really quite vicious and unkind, and he danced along the procession of David's family, throwing mud and stones at them, seeking to spook the horses and the cattle, and seeking to give them a bad time. David said when Joel said, "Let me out there and I'll kill him. I'll take his head off his shoulders." He said, no. "This day God hath said, Shimei, curse David." There may be a time when God is teaching you a lesson and you need to hear it. And so some negative thing will crop up in the mind of somebody who will falsely accuse you and rattle your cage. It's okay. Don't worry. Put your faith in Jesus. Trust him. Trust the Holy Spirit to deal with these people and these situations. Well, I must hustle along here a little bit. The clock is telling me. Temperance is a word we don't use these days, so we transfer the word self-control. Temperance was really don't get drunk. But a lot of Christians today drink alcohol and think it's all right. I'm not going to say it's right, and I'm not going to say it's wrong. I'm simply going to say this to you. If you can't control yourself, you better not drink, or you'll end up with a DUI and a loss of license to drive, and you will be in a pickle. It is important that you understand and I comprehend that faith is overcoming. And that's what temperance or self-control is. And then there's knowledge. I find this to be faith apprehending. Faith grabs hold of my mind and causes me to think of the things of God. And the more I think of the things of God, the more powerful I become, because I am apprehending, I'm taking to myself the teaching and truth of the Word of God. I believe when I read the Word of God, it first of all is His Word. Secondly, it causes me to understand that knowing His Word brings to me life. There is life, said Jesus, in the Word. If you don't read your Bible, you'll never find this. But knowledge of the Word of God will give you faith apprehending. And then there's patience. Patience is a hard one. I see patience as faith untiring. When we have the countless faith that God has given us, we have untiring faith. We believe to the end of our lives. Untiring. We believe that our children will hear and respond to the Word of God one way or another. We have untiring faith. We believe that God shall supply all our needs according to His riches in glory. And because we believe that, we find our faith to become untiring. We don't measure what we've given. We don't measure how we feel. We just believe God. And that may be too easy in some of your minds, but it's necessary. And then godliness. Look at the word godliness. It comes from three words, God-likeness. The English is abbreviated to godliness, God-likeness. I am like God. Now, I shall never be God. I am like Him. The attributes of God are lived out in a person's life. That is, the wonderful teaching of the Word of God becomes the strict demand upon the life of the person who loves the Lord Jesus. And we find godliness is walking with the Lord Jesus. Years ago, somebody said to me, "If you can't take Jesus wherever you go, into whatever you are doing, you should not be involved in that thing." So if you're messing around and making all sorts of wrong moves and find yourself in a bit of a compromising situation one way or another, if you find that is happening, you need to do something about it. And when you've got it going, you must get your godliness in a straight line so that your godliness will show. God-likeness will be obvious. You will be showing people. Now we come to kindness, and this is simply faith in practice. If you have and someone needs and you can meet the need, meet it. Even though it may make you short for a week or two, a month or two, a year or two, give and be generous. Now, I've got to stop because of time, but maybe in our next time together, we'll finish this off and we'll enjoy the end of what Peter is saying. Jesus is coming soon. The evidence in this world is running it the gauntlet. There's more lawlessness, there's more wickedness, there's more evil than ever before. We are seeing terrible things take place, and we're trying to plug the holes in the dike. If you notice, all our politicians are running around like scalded cats. It's fun to watch them. They have no answers at all. The answers are found in the Word of God. So, saints of God, stand up, be counted, and live for Jesus, and make him your greatest priority. Show somebody Jesus today. Pray with me, please. Lord Jesus Christ, enter into our lives anew, fresh and strong, and show people everywhere that we simply love you, and through us, you love all men. Bless us now, and hold us fast, and keep us in your word, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Hey, saints of God, rejoice! Jesus is in charge of this whole world, and our country, and our family, our lives. Bye-bye. God bless.